That song about I love preaching reminded me of some things that some of my folks used to say when I pastored. Going from point to point to point to point to point to point to point. How many of you glad you're saved tonight? How many of you really glad you're saved tonight? You'll get better reception when you get both antennas in the air. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here. If you hadn't been blessed already, your blesser's in sad shape. It's to the point it needs real serious attention. I thank God for what He's done and appreciate the opportunity to be here. I love this church and appreciate your good pastor and the folks that are here. What a blessing it is to come this way, and we count it an honor and a privilege to be here. You've always been so kind and so good to us, and we thank God for all of you and appreciate the opportunity to come. For a little while this evening, let's look into the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans, chapter number 5. Brother Billy Mitchell touched on this a little bit, but to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot they didn't touch on this week. So, Romans, chapter number 5. And there the Word of God says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God. I've got over in the margin of my Bible, hallelujah, written in right there. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'll touch the Word of God. May it find lodging place in our hearts and our lives, our spirits tonight, that we might be able to glean from it that will help us in days ahead, that will stir us and make us to be more aware of the goodness of God and your mercy, be more grateful for your grace that's been shown unto us. I pray, Father, if there be one in the house tonight that's lost, never been born again, oh, may this be the good hour when God in goodness comes by their heart, calls attention to the fact that they need Jesus, and draw them unto Christ that they might be eternally saved. Whatever you do tonight, we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. But God. But God. 44 times in the Scriptures, the words "but God" are used as a phrase. Now, don't get too excited. I'm not going to try to preach on all 44 of them from point to point to point to point tonight. But I do want you to understand that if it had not been for God, what a mess all of us would be in this evening. But God. The Bible says here in verse number 1, therefore. Well, anytime you find the word therefore in the Scriptures, you need to know what it's there for. It's referring back to chapter number 4, and a man by the name of Abraham, who by faith followed God faithfully, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness, and he was accounted as being a faithful man unto God, a friend of God, and he did not deny God anything because he believed that God was able to do whatever was necessary to fulfill the promises that he had made to him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The greatest element, the greatest characteristic, the greatest thing that can come into your heart and your life is to have peace with God. Amen. Peace with God is the most important element that is attainable for anybody's life. If you don't have peace with God in your heart and your soul tonight, you are tormented. Because you're up and you're down, you're in, you're out, you have problems and worries and concerns, and a lot of folks are worried whether or not they're really saved or not. But if you've got peace with God down in your heart and you feel that peace and know that peace, then you can lay down on your bed tonight and pillow your head and go off to sleep in comfort and realize that it really doesn't matter whether you wake up in the morning or not. You go to sleep in Jesus tonight, you wake up in glory. An old time preacher, some fellas had stopped him on the street corner in a big city, and they were threatening to kill him if they didn't give him their money. Well, an old-time preacher, he didn't have any money. He said, "Fellas, what are you trying to do?" They said, "We want all your money. We're going to kill you." He said, "I've been preaching the gospel for over 40 years. You're threatening me with heaven?" Peace with God is the greatest thing, the greatest attribute, the greatest characteristic that anybody can have in their life. And we are justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it brings us the opportunity and the privilege of having peace with God, peace attainable for all of us. There's no need in us going around with a frown upon our face, looking down and thinking, "Woe is me. And what are we going to do, and how are we going to get through this, and all these things that are going on in the country today?" There's no use in you and I going around with a frown thinking, "How are we going to do this?" We're attached to the one who's already knows the way. Amen. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through this grace wherein we stand. And we're able to stand up and say, it doesn't matter what circumstances may come. It doesn't matter what situations may arise. It doesn't matter what troubles may come our way. We got somebody that's with us and going to take us all the way and going to bless us all the way home. We have peace with God. Justification takes away our guilt and makes that peace of God attainable. Now, right now, this very moment, God is either your very best friend or he's your worst enemy. Whoops. Right now, this very moment, God is either your best friend who has put peace and joy and grace down in your heart, or he is your worst enemy. For when our hearts are not right with God, when we're not saved, when we're estranged from the children of God and we've never been born again, we are enemies of God by our own choosing. By our own choosing. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you come to repentance, you obtain peace with God and justification by faith. Because he passes it out freely to all those, as Brother Bill said the other night, who are savable. And to get savable means that you're willing to side with God against yourself, declare that he's right, he's righteous, he's holy, and you're not. And when you get that point, you can say, "Amen, God, do business with my heart." And then the righteousness of God takes over. And it's placed upon our account and changes us from what we were to what he would have us to be, which is children of God by grace through faith. How has it changed? By grace through faith, once delivered unto the saints that have brought into a new and living way that's been opened up for us. We were dead in trespasses and in sins until the Holy Ghost came by and illuminated our heart, that is, quickened us. and made us alive, being able to notice the difference between us and those that were saved by the grace of God. I never shall forget the day when the Spirit of God came to where I was, and the testimonies of the saints began to ring in my ears and speak down into my heart, and the Word of God found a lodging place in me, and all the hope and all the desire and all the aims and all the goals and all the things that I was counting on fell to the wayside, and I had nothing I could believe in, nothing I could trust in, except what the Word of God had to say to my heart. There, standing, hanging out over hell with nobody but the Word of God to hear and the Spirit of God to lead. When you get to that place, you're about to do business with God. It takes old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Amen. It takes old-time Holy Ghost conviction to do the job that needs to be done upon the hearts of the unconverted. And I never shall forget, as Mom stood and testified of the grace of God and how she is saved and on her way to heaven, as Grandma shouted up and down the aisle, as Daddy would wave his hand and sing glory to his name. And I couldn't, because I did not have it. It was not real to me. I didn't know what they were talking about until that Wednesday morning I hit my knees at an old-fashioned altar and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner on my way to hell. Forgive me. Wash me, clean me, and come into my life. And he said, okay. Amen. He jumped right into my heart, kicked hell out, kicked all the fear out, unloaded glory, and I ain't got over that yet. I have peace with God down in my soul, not because of who I am or what I do, but because of what he's done and what he wanted for me. It's not his will that you go through life wondering whether or not you're saved. But the peace of God is available to you. It's not the will of God for you to go along through life wondering what we're going to do. We're going to trust God because he's still on the throne. He's still in charge. He's still the Almighty God who's never lost a battle, who's never made a mistake, and who does all things well. We just trust in him. The Bible says here in verse number 2, we have access into this grace wherein we stand. When that began to ring into my heart, this grace wherein we stand, I about turned a cartwheel. When I didn't have that grace, when I didn't have that peace, when the justification of God had not took place in my heart, I had nowhere to stand. I was sinking farther and farther and farther down in the pit of sin. But when the Holy Ghost came by and Jesus put his arms around me, he lifted me up out of that pit, set me on a solid rock, established my going, put a song down in my heart, and covered me with the grace of God. This grace wherein I stand. Grace of God's in front of me. He's behind me. He's on both sides of me. I'm surrounded by the grace of God. In any, glory to God, in any direction I go, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. I can't go anywhere without running into the grace of God. I've had an introduction into it, and it's been a perpetual progressive grace that it does not matter what, glory, hallelujah, that situations that come along, the grace of God is still sufficient for that need. Access wherein we stand. Built upon the holy word of God. We've been discharged from our guilt. We've been washed and clean and made whole and made a new creature in Christ Jesus, made a child of the King. Wow. A child of the King because of the grace and the mercy of God. We're his soldiers marching on in the peace and the power of the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in hope, in the hope of his glory, and not our own. Amen. Some of you didn't get it. Rejoicing in the hope of his glory, and not our own. For several years now, when people come and ask me how I'm doing, I've tried to make it a point to tell them I'm doing better than I deserve. I'm doing far better than I deserve, because if I'd got what I deserve, I'd be in hell with my back broke tonight. But God. Though I deserve hell, but God came by where I was and changed my direction and changed me from the inside out, made me one of His own. But God has made a difference. God has changed everything for time and eternity, for me and my life, and for all them that are under this same grace wherein we stand. We hope not in ourselves, but in Him, the Almighty, who has never lost a battle. Amen. And has never lost one of His own. We come to verse number 3 and we find something that I have a little problem with once in a while. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I run into a problem there every now and then. Amen. I run into a problem glorying in tribulations also. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being talked about. Hello? Is this on? I'm tired of being ridiculed. I'm tired of being run down. I'm tired of being spit on. I'm tired of being talked about as being the trash or the scum of the earth because I believe and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I want to be and desire to be and aspire to be the very best Christian that I can be. The world has turned up its nose and turned its back and said, Christians are the scum of the earth. Matter of fact, we had a leader one time in Washington who said that those old-time, born-again, believing Christians are dangerous people. He don't know how dangerous we are. He said a mouthful right there. Why? Because we're hooked up to power far beyond anything that he'll ever know until he gets saved himself. And then when he becomes one, if he is one, then all things will be made new for him too. We glory in tribulations, having hard times, trials, burdens. We glory in those tribulations as children of God because we know our God is able. Amen. That ought to put somebody on shouting ground right there. We know our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And so we glory in tribulations when the hard times come our way because we're standing by wondering, how's God going to handle this? Amen. Glory to God. How's he going to get us through this one? What's it going to take for him to make us take another step and get on through this? And if we don't get on through this, we'll just go on to where he is. Amen. There's a lot of things worse than death for the child of God. We glory in tribulations. And yet, I have a problem with it at times because my faith grows a little weak at times, and my flesh is weak. And every now and then I try to tell God my name's not Job. Amen. I don't know how many times I've said, do you know who I am? Do you really understand what I'm going through? Has it dawned on you? Yes, the answer comes back. I know right exactly where you are. I know everything there is to know about you. All things are open to him with whom we have to do. There's not one thing hid from him. And glory to God, he cares about them all. He's consciously aware of everything we're in and everything we're going through. We glory in tribulation because it worketh patience. Be careful how you ask for that. Amen. Because to get patience, it takes some tribulation, some heartache, some burdens. I told you this morning, for several years now, I can look back and see loved ones that have gone on home to be with the Lord. Last August, August the 9th, I was preaching a meeting down near Athens, Georgia. Sunday night, the meeting, the service was over. I got to the car, and my wife and I picked up our cell phones, and we looked, and there was like 16 messages on each phone, people trying to get in touch with me, get in touch with us to tell them that my mom had had a massive stroke and was in the hospital. And we turned and we got a hold of the pastor. He was going to take us to eat and run up to him and told him what was going on. He said, "I'll direct you over there." And we drove on over to the hospital and got to the hospital and walked into the room where mom was in the cardiac care unit. And I walked over to where she was. And they told me, they said she hasn't spoken, she hasn't responded to anybody in over 2 hours now. Said she hasn't opened her eyes in over 2 hours. I walked over to her. I took her by the hand. I said, "Mom, I'm here." And she squeezed my hand. She couldn't speak. She couldn't open her eyes. But she squeezed my hand to let me know she knew that I was there. Whoop, glory to God. The doctor came running in and he said, "I assume you're the only son." I said, "Yes, I am." And he began to tell me how massive the stroke was and how that it almost completely covered her brain and that all these things that were going to be wrong with her, that she'd never be able to see, probably never be able to hear, wouldn't be able to talk, wouldn't be able to walk. Her sides would be paralyzed and she wouldn't be able to eat or take care of herself or do anything on her own. I said, "Well, Doc, you've made this a simple choice. Mom and I have already talked about this situation. You just try to keep her comfortable as you can, and let's see what God will do." And God was so gracious, and God was so kind that He gave me 48 hours to be able to stand there and hold her hand and tell her that I loved her. And that I wanted her to go on home to be with Dad and be with Jesus and get the welcoming committee together. It was a relief to me when Mom took her last breath on this side and her first breath on the other side. Because she would not be alone anymore. She won't have to walk on a walker anymore. She won't be taking medicine anymore. She's in a place of perfect peace without any pain, with nothing to be concerned about, waiting on us to come. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience that's against our fleshly nature brings experience. And experience brings us hope. We know that if God's done it one time. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But God. Amen. But God. He will do it again. Amen. Experience brings us hope. He will do it again. That He's able to take care of us. And that hope makes us not ashamed. Where we can stand and lift up holy hands in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I know we're in a Baptist church, but it shouldn't scare anybody to talk about the Holy Ghost in here. He didn't come to hurt you. He came to help you. Amen. And the Holy Ghost makes us to be able to lift up holy hands toward heaven and say, "Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the valleys I've walked through. Thank you for the mountaintops I've crossed over. Thank you for the trouble. Thank you for the heartaches. Thank you for everything that has taught me how good you are and how wonderful you are and how wonderful it is to know the grace of God. But God. Apostle Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We experience God. We gain hope and we gain faith that God in time and concern and care will watch for us. He lives in me as if he had nowhere else to be. Amen. That's pretty good for a country preacher right there. He lives in me as if he had nowhere else to be. The God of all the universe, who created everything there is, took the time and took the pleasure to come to dwell and abide in me as if he had nowhere else he wanted to be. But God, this hope is in us. It's for us. It's in him and by him. It will not deceive us. It will not neglect us, because he's promised he'll never leave nor forsake us. Because the Holy Ghost is in us and on us, filling us and thrilling us and making us not ashamed but glad. Exceedingly glad at times of just being one of his own. Hallelujah. But God. Verse 6, 7, and 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth. That is, he sent, he's bestowed, he's manifested himself. His love toward us. He who is love has been manifested toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bless his holy name. I was as unworthy and as undeserving as I could possibly be. But God. I ought to be in hell tonight. But God. At best, the very best I could do, I ought to be in prison for the rest of my life. But God. But God has come by. And God has placed purpose. And God has placed a plan. And God has put a peace. And God has made a work in my heart and my life to give me something I can do for him while I'm here, and give me the hope that I'm going to spend eternity with him when this is over. Only God, but God, can do such things as these. We're without strength, ungodly, without hope, dead, debtors, helpless, hopeless, deserving of hell, sinful, wretched, blind, worthless, vile, even obnoxious about it. Unworthy of even a favorable glance from our God. But God manifested, commendeth, sent his only begotten Son that I might have life and have it more abundantly, that whosoever will might come unto him freely, that we might have all our sins. I had a young lady one time said, God, can God really forgive me? Can God really forgive me? Can God really cleanse me? She said, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I said, no, I don't. She said, preacher, if it's ever been bad, I've done it. I've been a drunk, a dope addict, a prostitute. I've even taken the life of my own unborn baby. If it's ever been bad, preacher, I've done it. Can God really forgive me? Can God really cleanse me? Tears were streaming down her face. We were next to the communion table up in the front in the altar. I said, ma'am, it appears to me you're in the right place. It appears to me that you're in the right frame of mind. It appears to me you're in the right spirit and the right attitude. Why don't you just ask him and see what he'll do? She got down on her knees and she began to pray. I didn't tell her what to say. I just backed away and started praying myself that God would show her and God would completely do the job in her. Just in a few minutes, it wasn't 5 minutes, it wasn't 5 hours, she got up and raised her both of her antennas up toward heaven and said, he did. He did, he did, he did. I've never felt this clean before. But God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. But God. We've been saved, justified, reconciled, regenerated, made new, given hope, joy, peace, purpose, a walk with him. An ability to fellowship with a holy God. Wow. Been hid with Christ in God. He gave it. I just received it. And now I'm enjoying it. I mean, he didn't give me something I have to endure. I'm enjoying it along the way. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now, right now, this very moment, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But God, there is not another plan. There is not another way. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But God sent his only begotten Son into this world that whosoever would believe and trust in him might have everlasting life. But God, the only God, the only true and living God. I'm going to close with this. I've been preaching 31 years now. For the last 10 and a half years, I've been preaching on television. I know some of you don't know anything about that, but that's all right. 10 and a half years, I've been trying to tell folks about Jesus. Now, by the grace of God, by his power, by his move, every week I have the opportunity to preach to some 2.5 million people. Now, I'm not naive enough to believe that they're all watching. But if only 1% of that 2.5 million are watching, only 1%, there ain't a pastor in America gets to preach to that many on Sunday morning. Amen? And all I've tried to do is tell them, but God. Amen. But God. I started and I said, God, how am I going to do this? I've got so few days and so little time to prepare and get ready to preach. He said, one day a month, and I'm lucky to get that one day a month. I go and do 4 television programs, and by the way, be praying, I'm going to try to do that again Tuesday. One day a month, I go and record 4 television programs and try to tell them about Jesus. I said, how am I going to prepare that many messages? He said, just preach Jesus. So I started with the letter A. And I went all the way through the English alphabet. Would you believe that 10.5 years later, I just now started over. It took 568 programs to get through one time in the alphabet. And I'm starting over again because I missed so many along the way. But God, I thank God today that there is a peace that passeth all understanding, that there is peace with God and there is the peace of God and there is a presence of God in hearts and lives that want it, because God commendeth his love toward us in that while we didn't care, in that while we were yet sinners, and while we were all wrapped up in ourselves, he sent his Son, his love toward us, that he might draw us unto him, that we might inherit everlasting life. Do you know him tonight? Do you know him? Have you got that peace that passeth all understanding down in your heart? Did you know tonight beyond doubt that you're his and he belongs to you? Stand to your feet, please. Eternal Father, how grateful I am that thou art still the Almighty God who has not changed and will not change, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad it's still the plan and the purpose of God, the manifestation of the grace of God to save whosoever shall call upon thy name. I'm glad you can make folks savable right here tonight if they'll just heed the wondrous grace and mercy and the message of God tonight. I pray you'd touch. Oh God, if there's one here this evening, trouble them. As you did for me, as you did for others, let old time conviction grab hold of their heart, their mind, their spirit. Draw them unto Jesus, the one who's able to save, and make them a part of the family of God. Then, Father, I pray if there be one here tonight that's out of the will of God, walking a guilty distance from you, not as excited, not as thrilled, not as close to God as they ought to be, may this be the good hour when the goodness of God floods their heart, makes them to realize how good you are, how wonderful you are, how precious you are. Draw them unto you again that they might start over in your wonderful grace, that there might be a difference in their walk from this day forward. In Jesus' precious name, thank you for what you've done, what you're doing. Amen.